Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Diego Lasso, Serie A, and the goodness continues today. Jimmy Conrad joins me as the 2021-2022 Serie A season is days away, with 13 of the 20 teams involved showcasing newly appointed managers. So today is all about the coaches. And Jimmy and I will have a look. He'll talk to me about Spalletti, Inzaghi, Mourinho, of course, Max Allegri, and so much more. Serie A, CBS Sports, begins right now. Welcome, everybody, to Gigolasso Serie A. Jimmy Conrad in the house. Jimmy, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited to get into this. I think it's going to be a very competitive Serie A season. And yeah, let's get into it, because obviously, as we know, you got to have the right manager to press the right buttons at the right time to be a champion of any competition. So I'm ready to break down some of these top guys.
Well said, Jimmy C. And I think, Jimmy, you know, obviously we love every league here at Gigolasso, but when it comes to Serie A specifically now, you know, it's probably more technical than most. You know, gone are the days of Catenaccio, right, where defensive solidity and sort of sitting back and trying to play it out from a chess mind game perspective, that kind of days over. The 90s gave us a bit of that flavor, but we look at that modern end Serie A, that modern day Serie A, you know, it's not just about the long ball. There's a lot of great tactics, specifically because of the managers. I mean, look at Atalanta in the Champions League, right? Look at Antonio Conte's sort of aggressive title winning Inter Milan side. Roberto Mancini, you know, showed exactly what Italy are all about at Euro 2020. So the Italian game has really evolved. You've got Stefano Pioli, Atalanta's Gasperini, my favorite, and of course, other managers as well. And Jose Mourinho entering that frame. Before I ask Jimmy about all of these, by the way, there's a long list of new managers this season, including Eusebio Di Francesco, Aurelio Andreazzoli from Empoli, Max Allegri, we talked about, Mourinho entering the case, Thiago Motta, by the way, Spezia as well. Fantastic, Jimmy. So much talent, so many great names to pronounce in Serie A season this time around.
You didn't even mention Maurizio Sarri, so we can get some Sarri ball in our lives. He's coming back to take over at Lazio for Simeone Inzaghi, who took over at Inter Milan for Antonio Conte. So yes, it's a bit of a coaching carousel for some of these coaches. Some of them are recycled. Some of them have a ton of experience and have won Scudettos in their past. So I'm very excited to see who's going to get the best of who and who's going to make the most of these teams that are in front of them. Because as you have a whole bunch of new managers, as you mentioned, 13 out of 20, when you have a new situation and you're a new coach, you don't always have the players that you want. And you have to make the best of what's in front of you. And I'm curious to see which ones can do that the best, especially the ones in the top half of the table and obviously the ones that can help hold off relegation. But very exciting season. I mean, it's going to be all popping off in Serie A. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to be part of the coverage this upcoming weekend on CBS Sports HQ and Paramount Plus. So it's going to be awesome. I think my name should change to like Jimmy Conradetti or something. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I got to add a little something to some Italian flavor to my name.
Jimmy Conradetti or something like that. I don't know. But you did mention it. Paramount Plus, CBS Sports HQ. Jimmy will be part of it, myself as well, especially in the early morning bus on HQ. But you can watch it. And here we go, Jimmy. This is my plug. Paramount Plus is your home for soccer. Stream every match of Serie A, Italy's top league, featuring some of the world's best clubs, Juventus, Inter Milan, AC Milan, Roma, Napoli, and so many more. We got Ronaldo, Weston McKennie, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Olivier Giroud, Chucky Lozano, so many to mention. With live matches and heart-pounding CBS Sports coverage, you don't want to miss. Serie A kicks off this opening weekend, August 21-22, streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Jimmy, I'm excited. You're excited. We need to learn. How's your Italian, by the way, Jimmy Conrad?
It could be better, like all my other attempts into speaking other languages. It could always be better, but it's not due to a lack of respect. I'm doing my very best to try to pronounce these names the best that I possibly can.
Absolutely. Alyssa, you're doing a good job in Espanol as well, so I know that you'll do the same thing in Italiano. Anyway, everybody, let's begin with the manager. Jimmy, let's begin with Massimiliano Allegri. With all due respect to the defending champion Inter Milan, I wanted to start with Allegri and Juventus, right? He's back at Juventus to clean up a little bit of the mess that Andrea Pirlo left behind. Albeit not all his fault, right? He's the only manager to win five straight Scudetti. But he's been gone for a while. Talk to me about Max Allegri and his return to Juventus.
Not only that, let's say from a European perspective, right? He got to two finals of the Champions League, and that was something that Juventus has been trying to get for many years now, even after Allegri left the first time around. And they went and got Cristiano Ronaldo to try to solve that problem. They got the best to ever do it in that competition. They couldn't get there and actually did worse, right? So now bringing Allegri back into the fold, I do want to give a little bit of respect to Andrea Pirlo. He did win two trophies, the Supercoppa Italiano and Coppa Italia. So he had two. But my big concern with our Lord and Savior, I love Andrea Pirlo, I have a shrine of him behind me, it is the fact that he didn't roll out the same lineup in a consecutive games the whole season. And I think that that's probably where Allegri should start. And who is your best 11? Trying to identify that as soon as possible. And then through knowing who your best 11 is, giving them some consistency to build that rapport, to understand how they're going to move in this particular system, and then build from there, and then tinker from there. Maybe it's just one player, but it's not these wholesale changes that I think we saw at times from Andrea Pirlo. Now, in fairness, Pirlo was dealing with the pandemic. He's dealing with COVID-19. He's dealing with all these things. So it wasn't always that easy to roll out the same lineup game in and game out. But I just think that Allegri's going to come in with his experience, obviously having coached Ronaldo before. And it's interesting. I feel like I'm just kind of curious to see how he's going to ask this particular team to build up and how they're going to play and where they're going to press. When you watch his old Juve teams, dude, that team was stacked, but he did inherit a situation from Antonio Conte where the pressure was different because Conte was coming off of winning three straight Scudettos. And now what? Can you replicate what Conte was doing when you have different, you know, ideas about how you think the game should be played? Now it's the opposite. With Pirlo did struggle, and now can he get Juve back up to the top and winning Scudettos once again? But when I look at the team that he inherited from Conte, I mean, they had Barzagli in the back with Bonucci and Chiellini, which was crazy. He still got two of those three. They had Pirlo, Marchisio, and then Vidal were the midfielders. They had Evra and Lichtsteiner, if you guys remember this team. And then after that kind of finish, he ended up going, and they had, Tevez and Alvaro Morata the first time around. So he knows a lot of these players.
I forgot about that, yeah.
But those guys were so good, and he inherited a very, very good team that we could argue probably could coach itself. Now I feel like he's trying to figure out, you know, Chiellini and Bonucci, you're still relying on those guys. And yes, they just helped Italy win the Euros. But they have to start to transition from this older crew to this younger crew. And is that younger crew ready to take on that responsibility? And I think that's going to be Allegri's biggest challenge.
Yeah, absolutely right. Listen, and there's no denying, by the way, that Allegri can also be such a force in that dressing room. When things are stuck, when things are going down, you know, especially against a position that you should be beating, Allegri is your man. Hey, question for everybody, by the way, including from me and Jimmy. Is it multiple Scudettos or is it Scudetti? I don't know. In Spanish, it would be Scudettos, I guess, and in English, I guess, but is it Scudetti? I don't know. We should ask all our friends out there, our Italian friends, what we think. And then when you reply, by the way, give me that emoji, okay?
We only want emojis. Emoji-only answers.
Absolutely. By the way, thank you so much for listening and watching on YouTube as well. Please like, please subscribe, please share, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It only helps us grow the show. All right, let's move on here, Jimmy Conrad.
Let's talk
about him. You're wearing the shirt. Tammy Abraham is in there. Jose Mourinho at Serie A. What do you think of that? Back.
Yeah, what I'll say about this was that I think the biggest surprise about the move to Roma was how quickly it came after getting fired from Spurs. I mean, he was 3 or 4 days away from coaching in the Carabao Cup final against Manchester City, gets fired. And then 2 weeks later, he's like, I don't know if I want to manage. He's out in public doing his thing. And then he takes the Roma job. And everyone's like, what the? That was some whiplash, dude. So for me, I actually think that this is a nice spot for him to land. It's a team that is in the Europa Conference League, so we'll see how he does there. But maybe without the same type of expectations. And maybe there's some similarities to Spurs because, you know, Spurs and Roma feel somewhat comparable. You can see the talent, but never really get there, really never get to the top of the mountain. The last time Roma won the league was in the 2000-2001 season, so it's been quite some time. They've never won a European competition. So I feel like he's got a lot to gain as opposed to really having anything to lose. And from a Roma perspective, from an ownership perspective, why would not take a flyer on Jose Mourinho? Coming off of Paulo Fonseca, who maybe was a little bit naive defensively, but man, they would score a bunch of goals. And now that's my big fear now. What happens to Roma's attack? They had 68 goals last season, one of the best in Serie A. I mean, scoring goal after goal after goal. But then, of course, they gave up a lot as well on the other side. We know that he's going to tighten things up defensively because that's his style. He's very pragmatic that way, and he likes to counterattack, and he's a big believer in, can we counter in, you know, 13 seconds or whatever that one title is for how do you counterattack and counterattack quickly. And we saw Spurs do that to great effect. But at some point, teams figure out how to defend against that and really negate that. So I'm curious to see what kind of tactics he brings in. Obviously, the signing of Tammy Abraham is going to maybe be his Drogba. Remember when he took over for Chelsea and he convinced Abramovich to buy Drogba? And I don't know if they're not like-for-like players, but I think that Tammy Abraham can play that type of Drogba role in some ways and maybe help jumpstart that Roma thing. Mkhitaryan was only one of two players to have over 10 goals and 10 assists in Serie A last season. Romelu Lukaku was the other player. So you're coming off a good season from Mkhitaryan. Zaniolo is going to come back, one of the most talented young players in Serie A, who tore his ACL at the beginning of last season. So he's going to have some options. Spinazzola, obviously getting hurt in the Euros for Italy, is going to hurt them a bit on the left side. But we do know that Mourinho knows what he's doing. He knows how to get the most out of his guys. And I actually really like this spot for him. I just thought it happened very, very quickly. I thought maybe he'd take a year away from being a manager before jumping back in. But here we are.
Here we are. Hey, listen, if this season is anything like that preseason game against Betis where he got a red card and a few other players got a red card, then I'm all for it. It would be absolutely amazing. By the way, Tammy Abraham, folks, Roma folks, I want you to pay attention to his numbers in the past three seasons. They are pretty damn good. And in a league that champions the technical side of the game, I think it could be a very good one. Let me ask you something, a few questions for you here with Mourinho before we move on, Jimmy Conrad. The first one is, what do you think are Mourinho's own expectations of Roma as he looks into this season and the other way around? What does Roma expect of Mourinho, do you think?
I think first and foremost, it's maybe establishing a little bit more consistency. I thought being a Roma supporter under Fonseca, though fun at times, it just was a roller coaster and you didn't really know what you were going to get. Are the guys going to show up? Do we have to score four goals to win this game? And it didn't feel like there was ever a sense. And I remember when they played against Manchester United in the Europa League, you know, they go up, they score some goals at Old Trafford, and then the wheels fall off the truck, you know, and then United just does. But I mean, that really was a microcosm of Roma's season, where you saw what they were capable of when they're playing at their highest level. But can they maintain that for 90 minutes? And I think what I would like to see is more stability, more consistency, not only from game to game, but also in the 90 minutes itself, so that I don't see one version for 45 minutes and then see another for another 45. And so I think Mourinho obviously has a track record to do that. And the last time he was in Serie A, you know, he dropped the mic and won the treble with Inter Milan. So he's coming in with a lot of fanfare. I know he has a lot of adoration for the league and the league and all of its supporters, for the most part, I think have some adoration for him. I'm just curious as to, I think that's from a fan perspective. Maybe that got a little micro. I think from macro, I would say that Mourinho needs to get into the top four, and that's going to be a big challenge. Also, doing something in the Conference League. Why not? Why, if I'm Jose Mourinho, why not try to win the first ever iteration of the Europa Conference League?
And
why not
something?
Win a trophy, and maybe beat Spurs along the way, so you can stick it to Daniel Levy at the same time. You know, there's like a win-win there packaged into the Europa Conference League. And then I just think that, can he start to mold this team into something that can still score goals, but is a little bit more stout defensively, a little bit more organized, I'd say. And you know, I think from a fan perspective or from an ownership perspective, I bet you they'd be happy with top six, just some improvement there. Maybe competing in the Coppa Italia, you know, like really taking legitimate stabs at winning some trophies. The Scudetto's out of the question. So it's like top four in the league, but can you make a play at the Coppa Italia? Can you win the Europa Conference League?
Yeah, I think, listen, in my opinion, this is Jose Mourinho's most important season. He's about to enter the most important pivotal part of his career campaign. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying in terms of like what he's won before. I'm saying in terms of like what his, to your point, what Mourinho are we going to get? Are we going to get the Mourinho that like in the Premier League, he was almost becoming a laughing stock with all due respect because of like not being able to adapt to the game. Now he's entering a league that really does welcome him. I think the culture is good for him the other way around. Top four would be fantastic. I think it's to your point, they need to win or go far in something and get Europe. You don't do that, it's a big failure. It's a major failure. But a top four would be tremendous. Like you said, Scudetto, forget about it. It's not going to happen.
I just want to jump in and say that Paulo Fonseca mainly played with a back three. I think if I looked at the research, 85% of his starting lineups last season were with a back three. Mourinho always plays with a back four. I mean, throughout most of his career, he's in some form of a back four. Sure, maybe he's adapted and he'll play with it looks like a three, whatever. And now there's a big trend, right, with Thomas Tuchel in particular kind of leading the charge just due to Chelsea's success of having those three center backs and two wing backs. Without Spinazzola, I think it's going to be a little bit tough for Roma to maybe execute at the highest levels. I hope Brian Reynolds, the American, gets a run out and gets a legitimate chance to get some
that
games.
Was a there was a question I wanted you to go deeper in. What do you think Mourinho does for Brian Reynolds' game?
I think he's going to help him a lot. I think that I'll use DeAndre Yedlin as an example. Before Rafa Benitez got to Newcastle, DeAndre Yedlin, I thought, was pretty raw on both sides of the ball. I mean, obviously, the talent was there and you could see it. But could he kind of wrangle it in and be a little bit more disciplined in his decision-making going forward and holding that space and understanding where you're supposed to be positionally, defensively? And I thought under Rafa Benitez, DeAndre Yedlin, who plays the same spot as Brian Reynolds, took those bigger steps in his career and became somebody you could trust and understand what you're going to get out of him game in and game out. And I think Jose Mourinho could do the same for Brian Reynolds, who obviously is still in a very, very young. So he's very moldable at this point and he's going to learn a ton just playing in these different types of systems and obviously playing against some of the best players in the world in Serie A.
Yeah, no, well said. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about my favorite one.
Which one is that?
And I know you love him. Gianpiero Gasperini from Atalanta. Serie A's longest tenured active manager, 6 seasons. He's got to adapt a little bit. Cristian Romero has left, of course. But Fabrizio Romano did say keep an eye on 21-year-old center back Matteo Lovato. We all know what happened to Papu Gomez last season as well. So there's a lot going on. There's also rumors, obviously. I'm not sure what's going on with the latest on Duan Zapata. There's a lot going on. But one thing's for sure, Jimmy Conrad, Atalanta is the party team. They bring it. They don't care who you are. They will go. And Fabrizio Romano earlier this week was talking high about not just, you know, a top four, which is obviously an expectation at this point, but winning the whole thing, Jimmy Conrad. Talk to me about Atalanta, the little engine that could. They don't have a budget, well, at least not in the last few years of like your Juventus or even your Milan's, despite the financial situation. But Atalanta, the little engine that could, and it's going to keep on rolling. What do you think?
I think that they need to get off to a good start. And they play Torino, Bologna, Fiorentina, Salernitana, the newly promoted team from Serie B, Sassuolo. They got 5 games that could get them off to a great start. And I'm not saying they have to go out and win all of them, that they shouldn't lose any of those, to be honest, when we look at it on paper. And then in the 6 week match day six, they got Inter Milan at the San Siro, and then they face, AC Milan after that. So we're really going to he's got some time, I think, to really kind of pick out who his best 11 is. And then at the same time, the first 2 games against Torino and Bologna, they're very going to be tough opponents, no question, but they should get the points based when you look at the talent on paper. That's going to end the transfer window. So I think you'll have an idea after those first 2 weeks, is Duvan Zapata going to stay or is he going to leave? Now, that said, I think that Gasperini, and I actually was a little interested about that Papu Gomez situation where it was captain versus coach and who was going to give. It was like a duel between two very strong, stubborn personalities. And Papu Gomez is out. And now he goes to Sevilla and he doesn't really do all that much, all things considered, right? He hasn't gone in there and been the ever Benega that I thought they thought he was going to be. So Gasperini wins that. And the team's like, all right, no problem. No Papu Gomez, no issue. He has another big personality, Josip Iličić, who's in there, and he put him into the game. You remember this. It was in the It was in the Champions League. He put him in as a sub. Didn't think Iličić was doing the job. Pulled him out like 15 minutes later. Yeah. I was like, what the hell is even going on? So I've got nothing but respect for Gasperini because he has a clear idea of how he wants his team to play. And he gives them the freedom to be themselves. But that said, I think there you have to follow some certain rules. And obviously the success is in the pudding, baby. He's been doing it. And I don't know if they have... I still don't know if they have that steely resolve to see out a whole season. As much as I'd love to see Atalanta and Gasperini win Serie A, I mean, that would be like Leicester winning it in some capacity. Maybe not like for like, because Leicester came out of nowhere when they did do it. But it would be close. I mean, just given what Gasperini's done over the last 6 or 7 years, I think the guy is a tactical genius. I think he's getting a lot out of a lot of players that you wouldn't really think much of. And I think his scouting's good. I think their youth academy's good. And I think that their attention to detail at every single level of what they're doing for players and for the club overall and the culture they're building is second to none. And I think that there should be a lot of clubs around the world that should be trying to mimic what Atalanta's done in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. And like so many other things from your point to your mention, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And Atalanta's tactics really need to always think of that. But Gasperini is so good. All right, let's keep going here before we take a quick break. But Inter Milan, the defending champion, can't deny them. But Romelu Lukaku is gone. Obviously, you know, a few other things have come in, Edin Dzeko, et cetera. But Simone Inzaghi. 5 very good years at Lazio, people's younger brother. But, you know, he's coming to Inter Milan. He took Lazio to the, you know, Europa League last year and to the 2018-2019 Coppa Italia as well. Hakimi's also out, by the way. But Denzel Dumfries, that's a good one. Very good Dutch defender that did really good things at the Euros. He likes his 3-5-2. Talk to me about Inzaghi Jr.
Yeah, this is... a big, big test. We talked about Jose Mourinho having a pivotal season in his career. I think we could say the same here for Simone Inzaghi, who I thought did a really good job with Lazio. They won 134 league matches during his time. They won the Coppa Italia. He consistently gets them in the qualifying for either the Europa League or the Champions League. The one thing that I worry about is the over-reliance on Ciro, the hero Immobile. And Lazio is going to have, and Maurizio Sarri is going to have his own issues trying to figure that out now that he's in charge. But how does he now adjust to a team that has a plethora of options? I'm looking at Lautaro Martinez now that Edin Dzeko's in, who, yes, he's on the wrong side of 35, I think, at this point. But he's very good at holding up the ball. He understands the league, obviously. He's got a ton of experience playing for Roma in particular. And I actually think that Dzeko's going to enjoy this part of playing for Inter, because at Roma, he had to be the guy. If he wasn't really scoring, the team, you know, wouldn't necessarily win. But here, he can kind of share that responsibility. And obviously, they got one of the best young Italians, in my humble opinion, in Nico Barella, coming out of midfield for Inter Milan. So there's going to be a bit of a drop-off. But I will say that Conte played a back three. Inzaghi's coming in and plays a back three. They like to employ those wingbacks. Dumfries is a nice pickup, by the way. The fact that Dumfries... is only what 12, 15 million euros. Like, what is Arsenal doing, by the way? That's a whole different conversation. Like, go sign that dude. Like, Dumfries is a boss. Did you not see
him? Fantastic purchase for that amount of money.
It's insane. Ridiculous. And I don't think there's actually that big of a drop off from Hakimi. Now, I will say Hakimi's like the first defender, and I don't know how many years in Serie A to have over 7 goals and 7 assists. It's something ridiculous. But I do think that Dumfries can come in and still provide that type of aura out wide and still get forward and whip balls in and still be a presence in that position. Now, obviously, it's going to be very hard to replace Romelu Lukaku, but I think Dzeko can provide certain things that will allow the team to transition in a meaningful way. And this is now going to put a lot of pressure on Lautaro Martinez to have to step up and maybe score a few more and be a little bit bigger than he had to be playing next to Romelu. So this is all these types of things for Simeone Inzaghi. And as we mentioned before with Maxi Allegri, it's not easy to follow up Antonio Conte, but he has put something in place that you can build off of. And now it's up to Simeone Inzaghi to not mess it up, right? Don't mess it up. It's worked. Don't mess it up. And Juve still a little bit vulnerable, right? Atalanta maybe not there yet. AC Milan still making moves, but have the youngest team in Serie A and on average for their starting lineup. And it's still ripe there for Inter to go back to back, but they've got some work to do.
They do have some work to do, but there's a clear objective here, a clear theme in the way that how Inter have reacted after Antonio Conte left and Romelu Lukaku. They wanted experience in the league already. Edin Dzeko, to your point, and Simeone Inzaghi, obviously the things that he did with Lazio. We're going to take a quick break if you're listening to audio. If you're on YouTube, we're going to keep on rolling. But Kego Lasso, Serie A manager special, we'll be right back.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everybody, we are back right here, and we are going to now discuss somebody that, of course, we have to mention, the chain smoker. Has he quit, by the way? Maurizio Sarri for Lazio. Will Sarri ball catch on at Lazio? It didn't really at Juventus, right? Giroud had this to say about it, by the way. Under his guidance at Chelsea, I scored a lot. I'll say it in a French accent. Under his guidance at Chelsea, I scored a lot. And he gave a wink as well, by the way. And Sarri versus Roma in the Derby della Capitale will be box office September 26th on Paramount Plus. Talk to me about Sarri, Jimmy Conrad.
I'm a big Maurizio Sarri fan. I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves. He's got an incredible backstory where he you know, was working as a lawyer and a banker and kind of managing amateur teams on the side.
Nothing to do with football, basically.
Like And then in 1999, he's like, you know what? I'm going to quit. And I'm just going to go manage full time just because I can do whatever I want. I'm Maurizio Sarri. And he dedicated himself full time to coaching. And he got his first big break at the age of 56, replacing Rafa Benitez as Napoli manager. And what I really like is, with regard to Sarri, he likes to play forward quickly. So he likes to break the lines, get up and down. But there's some thought behind it, right? It's not just hitting a ball, a long ball to hit a long ball. I mean, there's thought behind it. He's trying to create numerical advantages. And he likes having a regista, a deep line playmaker. So Pirlo would be the best example, I think, in Italian history of that. But he loved Jorginho, obviously brought him from Napoli to Chelsea. And Jorginho, I think, has proven his worth, even without Sarri there, that, hey, maybe this regista is a pretty good spot. And I think Thomas Tuchel has taken big advantage of that. And, of course, he just won the Euros with Italy. So there is some value to having a player like Jorginho who can unlock a lot of things, can receive the ball from the back line and make that pass forward, not sideways or backwards, but forward to make sure that the other team can't press you right away, right? Because if you play sideways, for me, when I'm managing or if I'm coaching, even at the youngest levels, there's a cue there, a natural cue that if you have a player in the middle of the field who then decides to play backwards, it's an immediate cue for everybody to get on the same page. We're now pressing together. Now, if that player in the middle of the field for the opponent plays forward and breaks your line, you can never get set as your pressure because not everybody's on the same page because now that pass is probably eliminated five or six players. So it's really important to have that type of player. Is that Milinkovic-Savic?
Well, who is that then, Jimmy? Who is that?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Milinkovic-Savic had a great season.
He is fantastic.
He is. I think he's a little bit more of a box-to-box guy.
Yeah, he's not that guy that you're talking about, right? Yeah.
But Ciro the Hero, Mobley, obviously not that guy. But how does he continue to survive and thrive under Sarri ball? You know, we knew that Cristiano Ronaldo did not like Sarri ball, did not like kind of being starved of seeing the ball, right? Because a lot of it just got maybe caught up in midfield where Cristiano was not standing. He wanted it a little bit quicker. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out for Maurizio Sarri, who I think there is a bit of a indoctrination for the players to get it. But once they get it, and we saw it with Napoli, they really get it. And in fairness, Maurizio Sarri won the Scudetto and got fired. And then they brought in Pirlo and Sarri took a shot at him. Like, why? You're praising Pirlo for winning two trophies, but he didn't win the Scudetto. I won the Scudetto and everybody's crapping on me, you know? So I love that there's a little bit of a chip on his shoulder for this one. I think he's going to have a real good go at Juventus. And I don't think there's going to be much of a drop off at Lazio. It's going to be a little bit different than what they experienced under Inzaghi, but But Sarri is so experienced, super smart, and I'm excited to see how he does in particular.
Yeah, by the way, I think Felipe Anderson might have a point to prove, you know. Lucas Leiva. Yeah, there's a few interesting, intriguing storylines there for Sarri and Lazio. All right, let's keep going. Luciano Spalletti, Napoli. Gattuso's out. Spalletti is in. This is a very well-experienced manager, a journeyman coach who's managed six other clubs in this season's Serie A. Roma, Inter, Udinese, Venezia, Sampdoria, Empoli. Like, this is, he knows what's up, Spalletti. Talk to me about Spalletti and Napoli.
I love Spalletti. I look at him, and maybe it's just his look, but he looks like a crazy bastard, and I'm here for it. Like, inject
his whole... You don't want to get in a fight with him, like, in a bar.
No. Inject his vibe into my veins, though. I just feel like...
You know who reminds me of, Jimmy? Sexy Beast, right? The movie. He looks like a proper, like, gangster. Like, he's an old school manager, as we mentioned. But talk to me about him and Napoli, because Napoli are interesting, Jimmy. Obviously... You know, they're an attractive team. They have so much history, Maradona, et cetera. But, you know, they want to win it. You know, can they do that? Can they get there with Spalletti?
I think that they're a bit of a sleeper team. When I see other previews of Serie A or listen to those and try to get some research and understanding of different perspectives, Napoli are like, yeah, they're there. But I actually think that Spalletti could get them very close and have them competing until the very, very end. And I say that because there's something about his vibe. I think he provides a different toughness. I think he seems very tough to play for, but also I think that extends into the team itself. Now, he's got a lot of players that are ready to take that step, I think, in their careers. Chucky Lozano, Victor Osimhen, the Nigerian international. And then you obviously can litter that with a bunch of experienced players, Lorenzo Insigne, Dries Mertens, amongst others. He likes to play a 4-2-3-1 historically, but what I like about him is that he's very, I've listened to a lot of his interviews, and he loves the word balance. He says the word balance a lot. And I think there's going to be a big emphasis on everybody doing their job on both sides of the ball. And that might not be, you know, I don't know if every player is going to want to hear that, but that is really what it takes a lot of times to have that type of success, but still giving those creative players the freedom to be themselves. And I think he does a good job of that. And I'm going to give an example. When he had Francesco Totti at Roma, he actually put Totti at the false nine, and he loved that. And then he would run the wingers. So, right, Dries Mertens and Lorenzo Insigne coming in, and then maybe it's Victor Osimhen dropping in a little bit. I mean, he's a proper number nine, but there's different ways that he likes to create space, draw the center backs out of that central position, and run your quick little cute guys that I like to call them, because Insigne and Dries Mertens are so cute as a button, those two.
Cute
as a button. But then you run those guys in, and I just think that it's not something that teams haven't seen before, but if you do it with timing and precision, then it can be very, very effective, and that's what Spalletti's known for. So I'm very curious to see how he handles this group of players and how he try to utilize all their talents in a meaningful way. But I would not sleep on Napoli this season. I think they're going to be competitive.
Yeah, Matteo Politano, by the way, he was on, on loan at Napoli from Inter. Now he's a regular. He's also going to be part of it. I keep going to Chucky because I'm interested to see how he's going to fit within this whole thing. And by the way, let's not forget about Kalidou Koulibaly, still a major force at the back. All right, let's keep rolling here. And let's go to the final one here as we discuss. Stefano Pioli, AC Milan, guided the Rossoneri back to the Champions League for the first time in seven seasons. You thought... Maybe me and you, I remember weekend previews, we were like, AC Milan, is this it? Is this it? And no, it wasn't. They struggled at the end there because, as we remind everybody, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But AC Milan with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, of course, you know, returning as well to the Rossoneri. It's going to be intriguing to see how AC Milan do. Talk to me about this AC Milan team once again with Stefano Pioli.
Yeah, I like Pioli a lot. And if people remember, before the pandemic hit, his name was on the chopping block. They were already talking to Ralf Rangnick to come in and take over for him. And then all of a sudden, Pioli went on this incredible run. Maybe it was spurred on by the recent signing of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who really injected the team with some confidence and swagger that maybe they were lacking before. And they went on a great run. And they're like, you know what? Maybe Rangnick's not the right guy. Let's just hang on to Pioli. And he's turned it into, you know, a very successful season last year. I think they took some steps. It didn't get to where they wanted to go, but they took some steps. And I think if I'm a Milanista, I'm feeling pretty happy about what I saw. Now, can they take further steps? I think that's going to be the big question. Can Pioli be the guy now that continues to show that progress? I do want to say that Pioli and Gasperini are the only managers to finish in the top seven of Serie A last season to keep their jobs. So that's interesting. Also, Milan was, as I mentioned before, Serie A's youngest team last season by an average age of 24 years, 4 months. And they have, for me, a couple cornerstones in their squad. We got Sandro Tonali, who the holding midfielder who looks like Andrea Pirlo, 21 years old. Brahim Diaz,
Adam
21.
Driver.
He does look like a mix of Adam Driver and Pirlo.
Yeah.
Rafael Leao, who I thought was tremendous last season, especially when Zlatan was hurt. He's 22. And then that signing, getting Chelsea's Fikayo Tomori, he's only 23. I mean, those are guys you build teams around, and I think they've proven that they are ready for that responsibility. So I'm excited to see how AC Milan continues to get after it. Now, they lost Donnarumma. And I think that's Donnarumma, excuse me, to PSG on a free transfer. So that has to hurt. But they picked
you
up.
My God.
Mike Maignan. I'm probably not saying that right, but I'm trying my very best. And he was the goalkeeper for Liga, the champions Lille, who actually missed him because they just lost 4-0 to Nice this past weekend. But he had the most clean sheets out of any goalkeeper in Liga last year. I think he's a tremendous goalkeeper. I think this particular transfer is flying under the radar. I think this goalkeeper is very, very good, and I don't think there's going to be too much of a drop-off. There's going to be some, of course, because nobody can replace Donnarumma, who was the MVP of the Euros and helped Italy win in two straight penalties and all that good stuff. His track record speaks for itself, but I just think that this goalkeeper is going to be very good, and I like AC Milan. They're going to be hanging around as well, and it's just a matter of can these younger players continue to not only take their own steps in the career, but how can they lift everybody else around them? And how can Zlatan stay healthy? Can he continue to elevate and get the best out of his players around him? Because when he's on the field, I mean, they play with a different type of confidence. So it's going to be interesting to see how Pioli kind of manages all these egos, of course, but he's done well so far. And I'm curious to see if Milan continues to take some further steps.
And I really like the Olivier Giroud introduction as well, because now you have somebody that, you know, he wants to prove something. And I think he enjoys the fact that he's in Serie A. I mean, I'm looking at the squad and the Pioli, and I think he's going to be learning some lessons from last season. And they look a little, I mean, you mentioned Donnarumma, obviously a massive loss, but Brahim Diaz still around as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Kjaer next to Tomori, Leao, you mentioned, Rebic. I mean, this team, I mean, you think they can do it? Jimmy Conrad, very initial gut reaction. Can they really challenge it more than last time? Because last time it was pretty close and then they slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, they fell off a little bit. They felt kind of Borussia Dortmund-esque. When I think about Borussia Dortmund, it's like they challenge with Bayern for, you know, 8 months of the season. And then the last 2 months, the wheels fall off and Bayern are champions once again. I get the same type of vibe from Milan a bit, if only because they're a little young. And even though I think that's probably their greatest strength, sometimes that can work against them as they try to, as you mentioned before, a marathon, not a sprint. And can they keep that energy and that concentration and focus that I think is needed to be a champion? They could be there. I just, when I look at the end of the season, is Pioli and Zlatan, are they holding the trophy over their head? I just can't visualize that right now. For me, it's looking like either Inter or Juve at this point. That's what it's looking like to me.
And AC Milan have to juggle Champions League this time around as well. So that's going to be tricky. All right, let's play a game before we say goodbye. Jimmy Conrad brought so much context, so much info. I love it. But let's talk about that. Let's have some fun. Although it's not really fun for the hypothetical manager right now. Who, if any of the names that we mentioned, right? So I'll talk about it again. We're talking about Max Allegri, Jose Mourinho, Giampiero Gasperini, Simeone Inzaghi, Maurizio Sarri, Luciano Spalletti, Stefano Pioli. Who of those names mentioned will be sacked before the end of the season? If you had to pick one.
Before the end of the season. Yeah. Allegri's good. There's no issue there. I think Gasperini.
Right, let me do this.
Gasperini's fine. Okay. If you want a quick answer, I don't know. I mean.
Yeah. So I'm going to say the name. You say yes or no super fast,
okay,
right?
Okay.
All right. Allegri.
No.
Gasperini.
No.
Simeone Inzaghi.
Possibly.
Okay. He's moving to the next round. Mourinho.
No, not season
okay.
one.
Okay. No. All right. Sarri.
No.
Spalletti.
God, no. I'm going to say no. They're going to give him a season for sure.
Pioli.
I could I could see Pioli getting fired. I could see that one. Yes, I could see it.
So that's the one, because Inzaghi, you were very close. You moved in, but you think that Pioli is the closest one.
I think that if Milan don't start off well, given the success that they had last season, they could pull that trigger and make it happen. I do think that there's been a bond that's been formed since Pioli was already on the chopping block, and with his back against the wall, he proved that he could be the manager they could trust. Mm. But I don't know. That's a great question, especially since we've seen so much turnover in Serie A. The odds are one of those guys is going to get fired before the season.
You said it right. Two managers only kept their jobs from the top seven last season.
Yeah.
Only two. That's crazy. I like your answer. I'm going to go more dramatic, more telenovela. I'm going to say it's Simeone and Zaghi. I think it's going to be a complete train wreck, and then they're going to be like, but I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just trying to be the devil's
advocate. No, I know. I remember when Frank de Boer took over Inter and he was out, but Frank de Boer is a train wreck.
It is Frank de Boer. That one is that's already a scheduled tweet. Frank de Boer is fired. Yeah, so. Jimmy Conrad, always a pleasure. Before we say goodbye, by the way, don't forget to follow him on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch. He's everywhere. He's going to be part of CBS Sports HQ, of course, as we go along with Serie A content and so much more. Back for weekend preview. Final thoughts, Jimmy, before we say goodbye, specifically on Serie A and these managers, maybe.
Yeah, I just got one thing for everybody. Roma, Roma, Roma. Let's go, boys.
Jimmy's going to be Jimmy's the biggest Mourinho fan, and he has left the building. And we will see you next time. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube. Have a great, great rest of your week.
Hey, everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.